Okay, thank you for being here this Saturday evening. Weather is getting a little better now, hopefully. So we'll start with invocation prayers. Whoever has memorized, or if you have your sheets, you can follow. Recite with me, others just follow maybe. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namo Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay. Thank you very much for being here. Maybe some of you can move forward, so everybody is sitting on the... Mataji, aap aa gaye ji. Okay, so as you know, we are doing this series of Guru Parampara. So we have done few personalities, we discussed few personalities, starting with Sri Madhvacharya, then Sri Madhvendra Puri. And last time we discussed about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna himself, Krishna and Radha as a combined form, who came to give Yuga Dharma, which is the chanting of the holy name. Now today we are going to discuss very important personalities within the whole Vaishnava community, especially in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The six Goswamis, called the Shad Goswamis of Vrindavan. So we will discuss briefly about all these six Goswamis. We'll try to discuss. Let's see how many we can discuss. So six Goswamis, these are the direct followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who got, somewhat directly, indirectly, they got direct association of Mahaprabhu and direct instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll go over some of these personalities. And they are all called Shad Goswamis of Vrindavan because they ultimately, all of these six personalities, they ended up staying in Vrindavan for a special purpose which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assigned to them. So, I will go over first the name of six Goswamis. So, pay attention, there will be a quiz at the end, especially for the kids, that's why I am asking all the kids to sit in the front. Okay? Pay attention. And you have to remember some of the names. So the six Goswamis. Anybody know already name of any of the Goswamis except from Veena Mataji? Gopal Bhatt Goswami, not Gopal.
Gopal Bhatt.
Okay, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, one. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so try to remember. I'm going to tell the names first. Shri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. So these are the six Goswamis, very popularly, famously known as Shad Goswamis of Vrindavan. Again, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. So we'll go over these six people, how they came into this process of Krishna consciousness, how they came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and what instructions they got from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life mission. Again, why we are discussing about these personalities? First of all, because they come in our Guru Parampara, right? It's very important to know these personalities. Another reason is to look up to some role models. If we want to progress in spiritual life, whom we look up to, right? What, from where we can learn, from whom we can learn, from whose behavior, whose character we can learn. So that's why these are very, very important personalities. To know about them, to learn something about them, to follow into their footsteps. Actually, this whole Krishna consciousness movement, which we know as ISKCON, when Srila Prabhupada founded this movement, ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he said, this ISKCON movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, is in the following in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. So they are also called Rupa Anugas, the followers of Rupa Goswami. So this Krishna consciousness is not new, that somebody recently in 40 years back somebody started. It is coming down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are all trying to learn from the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and from the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the first personalities. So out of the six Goswamis, three of them are relative. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they are real brothers. And there is another one, Jiva Goswami, the last one. He is the nephew of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So he was the son of the third brother, Anupam. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, these were three brothers. So the name of these three brothers were the original names before they came into the full process. So their original names were Amar, Santosh, and Anupam. So Amar, Santosh, and Anupam, these were three brothers. They were actually born as a Brahmana. They were born in a very high-class Brahmana family. And they were very learned. And they had a great influence on the people. All of these, they lived in Odisha. Now, being very learned, being very devoted from their childhood, being as born in a Brahmana family, they had great influence on the people, and they were learned in many multiple languages, Parsi, Arabian, and that time, the east of Bengal, that was ruled by a Muslim ruler, Nawab Hussain Shah. Okay, I'm talking about 1450s time era. So that time it was under the Muslim rule, Nawab Hussain Shah, and these two personalities, Amar and Santosh, being very learned, having a great influence on the people, Nawab Hussain Shah offered them a great position in his kingdom or in his ministry. He said, I need these people so I can control the people better. Now, they did not have any interest in joining his ministry. If it were one of us and you are offered a position in Trump's ministry, I offer you a finance minister position or a defense minister position or a prime minister position, You'll say, yeah, why not?
Anybody but
I'm looking forward to that.
No.
Now, these people, they had no interest joining politics or joining into the ministry of Nawab Hussain Shah. But Nawab Hussain Shah gave kind of a warning. If you don't join my ministry, I'm going to torture the whole Vaishnava community. I will forcibly destroy everything. So to protect the Vaishnava culture, they gave up their non-desirous to join his ministry. They said, okay, we will join your ministry, but don't trouble our culture or our people. So on that kind of condition, they joined. So Santosh and Amar, they joined. Santosh was given the position of Prime Minister. And Amar was given the position of Personal Secretary or a Finance Minister. So having a great positions, like very exalted positions in the ministry that time, and very well paid. And Nawab Hussain Shah, as was the tactics that time, he kind of converted them or gave them kind of Muslim names also. So Santosh got the name Sakar Malik. And Amar got the name Dabir Khas. So he gave them Muslim names to gain more control over people. Now these two brothers, even though they were serving in the Muslim rule, but in their heart, they were very attached to the Vaishnava culture, Vaishnava followings. And at their home, they had a replica made of Vrindavan. So in their gardens, they had the whole replica of Vrindavan made, Radha Kund, Sham Kund, Lil Govardhan, and they will engage the Brahmanas in recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So they always had the desire that somehow we want to go meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they happened at the same time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu last time a little bit. So they always had the desire, they wrote many letters to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please guide us, please deliver us from this condition, please guide us how we can quit this where we are engaged and engage our whole time in your service. So one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was going to Vrindavan, so he took a detour and he came to Ramkeli, where these brothers were staying. So both, all three of these brothers, so what are the names?
Sanatan Goswami
Rupa. No, they were not Sanatan Goswami and Rupa that time.
Santosh,
Amar and Anupam. So they went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they got personal association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They met him and asked him, what should we do in this condition? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Stay in the condition where you are, stay in your present situation, but in your heart always surrender to Krishna, always remember Krishna in your heart. And he gave an analogy. The analogy was, if a woman has an attraction for another man, even though she is staying at the house, she is always engaged in her household affairs very nicely, so that nobody doubts. She is very nicely engaged in her duties, household duties, but her mind is always remembering her beloved. So in the same way, even though you are engaged in the ministry of Nawab Hussain Shah, in your heart always remember Krishna. So in that way, stay in your present situation where you are, and at the right time, you will come meet me again and you will get the next stage of your life. So they went back, they kept serving in that way. After some time, so I'm going to go very briefly because we want to try to cover the six personalities. So that's after some time, even though there was an instance where Rupa Goswami resigned from his position, from his job, and he renounced everything. I want to first discuss Sanatan Goswami. I want to go in a sequence. So we will come back to Rupa Goswami, his story, how he renounced and what he did. So he went to Vrindavan.
So Sanatan Goswami was the eldest?
Sanatan Goswami was the elder one. And he was the leader of all the Goswamis in one way. So Rupa Goswami, he resigned, he went to Vrindavan. And he told Sanatan Goswami, his elder brother also, not Sanatan that time, Santosh, to join him. But he could not resign that time, because when Rupa Goswami resigned, or Amar resigned, Nawab Hussain Shah, he said, okay, that's okay, one person is going, but then another one is here. When Santosh said, I also want to resign, Nawab Hussain Shah said, it's too much, I cannot let you go. How will I manage my kingdom? So I do not want you to go. You have to stay here. But that time, Santosh, he pretended to fell sick and he told, sent the message to the Nawab Hussain Shah. I am very sick, I cannot come to your court. I cannot attend my duties. So he, for many days, he stayed at his home, not going to attend the court. And finally, Nawab Hussain Shah sent his person, his soldier, to the house of Santosh to find out what is the situation of this Sakar Malik, right? For him, he is Sakar Malik. So he to ask him not to find out what is his situation. So this person came to Santosh's house and he saw he has no problem, he has no sickness. He is sitting with all the Brahmanas and they are reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And he came and gave the news to Nawab Hussain Shah. And he got very angry and he put Sakar Malik, Santosh, into prison. That how dare you not come to attend the court and pretend to be sick. Give me the false news that I am sick and don't come to the court. So he put him into the prison. So later on, when he was in the prison, Rupa Goswami sent him a message that I have kept 10,000 gold coins at this particular shop. At that time, when people, there was no system of banks, people will have their money or something, keep at some shop or some owner, right? They will give him the money that, oh, on our behalf we are keeping this money in your possession, and when we need we will take it back. So he gave the money, 10,000 gold coins, to one shop owner, and he sent the message to his brother, his elder brother Santosh, that I have given him, you can give that money as a bribe to the jail keeper and try to come out, and then you can just escape from there and join me in Vrindavan. So Sanatan, Santosh that time, he told the jail keeper, see, I am also, you are such a nice God person, right? You are so God fearing, and I also want to do the same thing. I want to go serve the Lord. Please let me go. And this person said, oh, if I let you go, Nawab will kill me. How can I let you escape? So then Santosh had another trick. Okay, I will give you 10,000 gold coins. Now please let me go. And you can tell the Nawab that you took me for nature call. And I drowned myself in the river. So nobody could find me. So you can just come and tell Nawab that news. So finally this jail keeper agreed. So he, Santosh, he gave all the gold coins to this person. And he escaped. So he had one servant named Ishan. So with Ishan, he traveled towards Kashi. Now on the way, so it was a very far distance and they were traveling by foot. On the way, at night, they stopped at one motel, some Patel motel. So the motel owner, he was very, very kind of cunning person. And at his reception, he has an astrologer. So what they will do is, they, whoever guest is coming, this astrologer will do some astrology. He will tell how much money this person has, and they will try to rob that person in the night when he is staying at their motel. So this astrologer, they told him, he told the owner that this person who has come, my astrology tell he has 8 gold coins. So they made the plan that at the night we'll kill them and rob their 8 gold coins. And he was being very polite in his serving Santosh and his servant. He was being very, very polite. So Santosh got doubt. He was in the ministry of Nawab Hussain Shah, right? He also knew. He was the prime minister. He knew the tactics, how people deal and their behavior. Who could understand? When he was doing such nice, polite behavior, oh, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? Tell me, how can I assist you? So he got some doubt why this person is doing so much buttering. So he asked his servant, Ishan, do you have any money with you? I'm doubting this person has some wrong intentions. Did you bring some money with you? So Ishan said, yes, I have 7 gold coins with me. Even though he had 8, he wanted to still keep one somehow so that he can manage some things for his master. So he said, I have 7 gold coins. So he said, you fool, this 7 gold coins could lead to our death. Immediately give me these gold coins. So he took the gold coins, he went to the owner that I have these 7 coins, please take this. Now this person, the mortal owner, he became very ashamed. He said, I was going to kill you for these gold coins in the night. Now you all yourself have brought these coins. I'm very, at my heart I'm feeling very guilty. So he took the coins and then Santosh told him, please, can you make arrangement for me to cross over this hill to go on to the other side? So now this person made the arrangement. I will provide the boat and a person to take you across the river. So he provided that part. So from there, Santosh told his servant, Ishan, that you don't need to come with me. You go back and you can keep this one extra gold coin which you have for your maintenance. You go back from here. So from there, he came on the other side. And at that time, on the other side, he came to know. He passed another place where his sister and brother-in-law were living. Shrikant. We don't have Shrikant here today. So his brother-in-law, he met his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law was also serving into the ministry. And he was doing this job of buying the horses and doing the horse trading basically. So he also was a rich person. So he saw the situation of Santosh in old torn clothes. So he gave him a very nice expensive blanket. And he told him, why don't you stay here with me? You have come all the way from there. Nawab cannot find you here. Why don't you just stay here? He said, no, I cannot stay here. I need to reach some other place. So he took the blanket, he continued his journey, and he came to Kashi. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Kashi. So he came to know Mahaprabhu is here, and he came to the place where Mahaprabhu was staying. And when he arrived at that outside the house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the person whose house he was staying to, go outside, there is a very great Vaishnava outside your house. Please bring him inside. Now this person, he went out and he saw there was no Vaishnava, there was some Muslim looking like Muslim mendicant there. Because when they were serving in the Muslim ministry, Nawab Hussain Shah made them all look like Muslims also, right? That beard and looking like all that kind of get up. So he was looking like a Muslim mendicant. And when this person came outside the house, he did not see any Vaishnava looking person. He came back, told Mahaprabhu, I don't see any Vaishnava mendicant outside. Mahaprabhu said, no, go outside. There is one person, bring him inside. So this person went, he saw this mendicant outside. So he finally brought him. And as soon as he came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Because he already knew, he had already met Santosh that time. And he told, he is a great Vaishnava. And at that time, Mahaprabhu was looking at his expensive blanket on his shoulder. Even though everywhere else, all his other clothes were kind of torn and old. But he was carrying a nice expensive blanket on his shoulder. So Mahaprabhu was very pleased overall that he has given up, he has renounced and he has come here. But he was staring at that blanket. And Sanatan, Santosh that time, he was able to understand that Mahaprabhu is not approving of this blanket, the expensive blanket. So after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the person whose house he was staying that get him kind of nice dressed up, let him take shower and shave out, let him get the proper Vaishnava appearance. So this person took him to the bathing ghat, like the bathing place on the bank of river, and at that time he took his shower, everything, and there was a kind of a beggar there with a torn blanket, torn chadar. So he told that beggar, will you please exchange your blanket with my blanket? Now this beggar is looking, oh, my blanket is very torn and dirty looking, and he has a nice expensive blanket. He said, sir, are you joking with me? You want to exchange your nice expensive blanket with me? He said, no, I'm not joking. Please give me your blanket. And you can take this nice expensive blanket. So he finally gave up the last sort of his possession, expensive possession also. So he exchanged that expensive blanket with the torn blanket and he came back in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, looking at his nice Vaishnava getup, he was very pleased now. And at that time, he instructed. So, Sanatan. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the name Sanatan. And he instructed Sanatan for 2 months in Kashi. So, if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very nice teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Teachings to Sanatan Goswami. So, he gave him the name Sanatan Goswami. And he instructed him deep in the message of the secrets of the scriptures. We'll discuss those details later. What are those basic teachings? At that time, Mahaprabhu gave him very nice personal instructions. And these instructions were always engaged in the chanting of the holy name. Go to Vrindavan. Try to excavate the hidden places or the lost places of pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So find out those hidden places and nice find those lost deities of Krishna and build big temples, build nice temples, and with your personal behavior set an example for others. Mahaprabhu wanted his followers to follow into his teachings. Mahaprabhu gave only 8 written instructions or written kind of verses, shlokas, which we know as Shiksha Ashtakam, the 8 teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the third of them, the third stanza is Trinadapi Shunichena Tarorapi Saishnona Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. What does that mean is Trinadapi Shunichena, be humble than a blade of grass. Trinadapi Shunichena. Trinadapi Shunichena Taror Api Sahishunona. Be tolerant than a tree. Or be humble than a tree, tolerant than a blade of grass. Amanina Manadena. Always give respect to others. Don't expect respect from others. Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. In that humble state of mind, always chant the name of Krishna. So he wanted them to be very humble and show by his own example, his own behavior, teach to others. So those were the personal instructions Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatan Goswami. And he asked him to go join his brother in Vrindavan. Because Rupa had already resigned and he had come earlier, he had gone to Vrindavan. So he asked Sanatan to go join Rupa in Vrindavan. So when Sanatan, he came to Vrindavan, his brother had actually gone to Puri to meet Sanatan Goswami, to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he did not see Rupa there. So he started staying in Vrindavan. He engaged himself in Sankirtan, in always chanting the name of Krishna. Now earlier we discussed these three terminologies. Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. Anybody remember these terminologies? You remember? So Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. In the spiritual life, there are three important things here. Sambandha means to understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that is just the theoretical understanding. Who we are, who is the Supreme Lord, what is our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that Sambandha is Jivera Savrup Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. Our original position is to always serve Krishna. So that is Sambandha. And Abhideya is the method to develop that Sambandha. And Prayojana is the ultimate goal to achieve that relationship. So as there is these three aspects of progress in spiritual life, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So same way, there are three gurus or three acharyas, one for Sambandha Gyan, one for Abhidya Gyan and one for Prayojan Gyan. So Sambandha Acharya, Sanatan Goswami is known as Sambandha Acharya, to teach us the relationship with the Supreme Lord. So now when he was living in Vrindavan, he was always engaged in the chanting of holy name, in spreading the message of Krishna. And at that time, how they will maintain themselves? They will just go door to door. It's called Madhukari. Madhukari is, the meaning of Madhukari is as a bumblebee goes from flower to flower and pick the nectar. So same way the saintly people, they don't engage themselves in any occupation, right, for their maintenance. Their whole purpose, their sole occupation is to give out the message of Krishna, to teach the message of Krishna. And how they maintain themselves, whatever anybody give them, they will just take that and maintain themselves. So he will go home to home, sometime just begging for whatever little raw they have, they will give and they will maintain themselves. So Sanatan Goswami, he was going home to home. One day he went to the house of Purushottam Chobe. He was a Brahmana living in Vrindavan. At the house of Purushottam Chobe, when he opened the house, he saw inside the children of Purushottam Chobe were playing with the deity. They were keeping the deity at the floor and they were playing with him. And Sanatan Goswami, he told Purushottam Chobe, "What is this? Deity is to be respected. He is none other than Krishna. How can you let your kids play like that? And keep the deity at the floor lying like that?" So Purushottam, he said, "Oh, I'm very sorry, but will you take the deity? And will you like to serve this deity?" Sanatan Goswami said, "No, I am a mendicant. How can I maintain the deity? How can I serve the deity? I don't have anything to serve him." So he came back that time. At the night, Purushottam Chobe had a dream. Madan Mohan. So that deity's name was Madan Mohan. It's the deity of Krishna. I will tell you the history. It's a very nice history about the deity. So in the night, he got a dream. Madan Mohan came in the dream. He told, "I would like to be served by Sanatan Goswami. Please make arrangement. You request Sanatan Goswami. You give me to Sanatan Goswami." And at the same time, he also got the dream. Sanatan Goswami. Madan Mohan came in the dream. "I would like to be served by you. I have been waiting for you for a long time. Now I want your service." So next day, Purushottam Chobe came and requested Sanatan Goswami, "Please take this deity and you serve the deity." So Sanatan Goswami at this time, he agreed. Now Sanatan Goswami thought, "How can I serve? I myself am a mendicant. I don't have anything. I don't have a place to stay. I live under a tree. How will I serve the Lord?" So but Madan Mohan told him, "Oh, just serve me whatever you can. I will be happy in that situation." So Sanatan Goswami did not have any house, nothing. So he put the deity under a tree. And whatever he will get in some bagging, some dry chapatis, he will offer that to Madan Mohan. Now this Madan Mohan deity was the deity carved by Vajranav. Vajranav is great grandson of Krishna. So when Krishna had left, he wind up his pastimes, he had left this planet. Vajranav, he carved three deities. So one deity is Madan Mohan. Second one is Govindji. Third one is Gopinath. And in Vrindavan, there are three very prominent temples right now. Radha Madan Mohan Temple, Radha Govindji Temple and Radha Gopinath Temple. So we'll go about all these three. So right now, this Madan Mohan deity was carved originally by Bajrana. When he was carving the deity, he was asking his mother, please tell me how Krishna looked like, because he never saw Krishna personally. So he asked him how it looked like, and mother was telling the description, and he carved the deity. And he asked, is it like same as Krishna? So she said, his leg and feet look like Krishna, but it's not very similar to Krishna. Then he carved the second deity. For that, she said, his chest looked like Krishna, very close to how Krishna looked like. Then he carved the third deity. Now she said, after looking at that, she got shy, that the face of this deity exactly resembles Krishna's form. So like that, he carved three deities. One deity's foot looked like Krishna, the lower part of the body, like the legs and thighs. Second, the chest looked like Krishna. And the third one, the face resembled with Krishna. So the one which legs look like Krishna is Radha Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan deity. And later on, this deity was lost. And Advaita Acharya, when he was visiting Vrindavan, he found this deity. And at that time, he gave the deity to Purushottam Chobe. Purushottam Chobe was the disciple of Advaita Acharya. You know Advaita Acharya, right? We say in the prayer, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. So Advaita Acharya, on whose prayers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. So Advaita Acharya found this deity and he gave it to his disciple Purushottam Chobe to worship this deity. And now this deity came to Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami was offering whatever dry chapatis he could get in sometime in begging. And one day, the deity spoke to Sanatan. Baba, you are giving me all these dry chapatis. Give me some salt at least. So Sanatan said, see, I told you, first day, I cannot serve you. I am a mendicant and my purpose of my life is to be engaged in your service, in the service of Krishna. Remember and pass that message to others. Write the books and find the hidden places. That's my purpose given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't have time to arrange for the ingredients and cook for you and serve you like that. Now today you are asking me for salt. Tomorrow you will ask me sabjis. Next day you will ask me some sweets. I cannot serve you like that. See, that was the relationship of Sanatan with Madan Mohan. Can we do that to Krishna like that? So Sanatan Goswami, he really did not have anything. Today, if you have deity at home and you serve dry chapatis to the deities and in front of you, you have chapan bhog, that will not be reasonable, right? The purpose is whatever we have, we should offer to Krishna. So Sanatan Goswami, whatever he had, he was offering to Krishna. He did not have anything else to offer. So he said, I don't have. If you want salt, you please arrange by yourself. So now, Madan Mohan had to make some arrangement. So next day, there was one businessman. His boatload of goods, he was going from Yamuna to the next city to sell his goods. His name was, I guess, Ramchandradas something. Ramdas Kapoor. So Mr. Ramdas Kapoor, he was going in his boat from Yamuna to sell his goods. So that day it was big storm and his boat got stuck in the river. It was not passing from the coming out of the river. So he came on the bank and he saw one boy. Madan Mohan, he will come as a boy and he will start going outside and play there. So Madan Mohan as a boy, he was playing there. He asked the boy, can you tell me how I can get this boat out of the river? So he said, on this top of the hill, there is a very great saint, very saintly person lives there. You go pray to him and he will help you. So he went there and Sanatan Goswami said, you pray to this my deity, Madan Mohan, and he will help you, help your boat come out of the river. So this boatman, this businessman, Ramdas Kapoor, he came, he prayed to Madan Mohan, please let my boat get out of this, I will serve you nicely. So immediately the magic happened and his boat was able to come out of the river. And he came to Sanatan Goswami, please I would like to give you something. But how can I serve you? So Sanatan Goswami said, do you have some salt by the way? So he said, yes, it happens to be that I am carrying the big kind of bories of salt, right? What do you call that? Baskets of salt. And I'm going to sell them in the nearby market. So he gave the salt and Sanatan Goswami offered that salt to Madan Mohan. So he went, sold all the salt and make a lot of profit. Because of the heavy rain and all that, all the salt was wet and spoiled. Somehow his salt did not spoil. So he was able to get nice price. So he got very big profit. And he came back to Sanatan Goswami, I would like to serve you. I would like to give you something, offer you something. He said, if you want to give something, you can do whatever you want to my Madan Mohan. So that time, he built a very big temple for Madan Mohan. And that temple is still there in Vrindavan, called Radha Madan Mohan Temple. It's kind of on a hilltop, lot of stairs when you go to Vrindavan to this particular temple. You have to climb a lot of stairs to go up on the temple. So you can look at this picture here. So all these stairs going up and on top there's temple of altar of Madan Mohan. Kind of very open courtyard in the front. And it's right on the Parikarma Marg on Vrindavan. There's a nice whole Vrindavan Parikarma Marg. So right on the Parikarma Marg. So there is another very nice story about Sanatan Goswami. Kids want to hear another story? Once there was a person who was a great worshipper of Lord Shiva. He was a very poor person. And his wife was always fighting with him. Oh, you are always sitting, chanting, praying to Shiva. Why don't you go and ask him something? So this person went to Kashi and he did a lot of worship for Lord Shiva. Finally, Lord Shiva appeared. He asked him, okay, what do you want? He said, oh, I want some wealth. I'm a very poor person. Please give me something. So Lord Shiva said, I will send you to a person in Vrindavan. You go there and ask him. He will give you whatever you need. So he came to Vrindavan. He was looking for... So he told, go to Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan. He is living in Vrindavan. Go to Sanatan and ask him for whatever you need. He came to Vrindavan, he was asking for Sanatan Goswami. Where is Sanatan Goswami? Where is Sanatan Goswami? So people showed him, oh, there Sanatan Goswami is living there in some hut there. So this person came and he asked Sanatan Goswami that please give me some wealth. I am looking for some wealth. He said, oh, you want wealth? On the back of my hut, there is a pile of trash. Under that trash, there is some Paras money, that money there, you can take that. Touchstone. So this person went in the back, there was a pile of trash, under the trash he found this gem. So he came, so Sanatan Goswami said, if you want money, you can take this. This is touchstone, whichever item you touch it to, it will become gold. This person became very happy. And he was jumping with joy, oh I got touchstone, everything will turn into gold. So as this person was going back, he got a doubt. Oh, if this is the most wealthiest thing he has, why he will put him in a trash pile? He must have something more wealth or more important. So he came back. He asked Sanatan Goswami, please give me the real wealth. I don't think this is the real wealth you have. You must have some other real wealth. Please give me that real wealth. So Sanatan Goswami said, oh, you want real wealth? Then go throw this again in the trash, this Paras money, this touchstone, throw it in the trash and then come back to me. So he threw that touchstone in the trash and came back. So now Sanatan Goswami said, the real wealth I have is the holy name. So chant with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the real wealth. So this person, he through the touchstone got this real wealth, and he came back his home chanting all the way the holy name. So this person, it name happened to be Jeevan Thakur, whom Sanatan Goswami initiated into the chanting of the holy name. So later on, Brijvasis made a kind of a bhajan kutir for Sanatan Goswami at the backyard of, or the back court of, Madan Mohan Temple. So if you go to Madan Mohan Temple, behind the altar in the back court, if you do the parikarma of the temple, when you go at the back, so there is a bhajan kutir for Sanatan Goswami, which is still there. So people pay obeisances in front of bhajan kutir of Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami, he used to go to Govardhan Parikarma every day. Every day he will go to Govardhan Parikarma. How much is the distance of Govardhan Parikarma? Anybody knows?
21 kilometer.
So every day barefoot, he will do Parikarma of Govardhan. At the age of 90 also. So one day, Madan Mohan came in the vision, or came in front of Sanatan. He said, you are very old. Now you don't need to go do the parikarma. So he gave him one Govardhan Shila. And he had his footprint on that. So you take this Govardhan Shila and you can just do the parikarma of the Shila. It will be equal to the doing the parikarma of the whole Govardhan. So he gave him that Govardhan Shila. And that Shila is still present in Radha Damodar temple. So in Vrindavan there is another very famous temple called Radha Damodar temple. So this Govardhan Shila of Sanatan Goswami is still kept there, and when the darshan open, you can ask the pujari to show you that Govardhan Shila. So they will bring that in the front, that Govardhan Shila, to take that darshan. So Sanatan Goswami left this world in 1554, and his samadhi is made at Radha Madan Mohan temple. So this is his deity, Radha Madan Mohan deity, which Sanatan Goswami worshipped all his life, and his big temple was built. So Sanatan Goswami is the Sambandhacharya, to teach us our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And Madan Mohan deity is called as Sambandh Adidev. So Sambandh Adidev, he is the Adidev to help us develop our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So I said there are three temples, right? Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govindaji and Radha Gopinath. So Radha Madan Mohan is Sambandh Adidev. Radha Govindaji is Abhideya Adidev. And Radha Gopinath is called as Priyojan Adidev. So, and when you go to Vrindavan, it's said that one should visit all three temples in one time. Basically, if you in the one morning or one evening, you should visit all three temples. So all three temples one should visit in the same day. What are the three temples? Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govindji and Radha Gopinath. They are the Sambandh Adidev, Abhideya Adidev and Priyojan Adidev. So let's for a minute pray to Radha Madan Mohan. Just glorify him. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe.
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 Shri Sanatana Pranadhana He.
Shri Sanatana Pranadhana He.
Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe.
Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe.
Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jaya. So Radha Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan name also is very significant. Madan is Kamdev. Madan is the name of Kamdev. and Madan Mohan. So Madan, we are attracted by Madan, right? We are always tormented by Kamdev. And Madan Mohan means who attracts Kamdev. Mohan means who attracts. So Madan Mohan is who attracts even Kamdev. So when we pray to Madan Mohan, which is who is the attractor of Kamdev, so we are praying to him, please take away our attraction towards this worldly possessions, towards this material attachment, so we can focus into our sambandha with the Supreme Lord. So that is the significance of Radha Madan Mohan, and that's why he is called Sambandha Adidev. So this is the temples of Goswamis are the must to visit when we visit Vrindavan. A lot of time people go to Vrindavan, you ask him, okay, where did you go in Vrindavan? So I went to this Banke Bihari Mandir and I went to Prem Mandir and maybe Nijivan or Nidivan or something, and that's all, I'm done. People don't even know the real places to visit in Vrindavan. The places of great spiritual significance. So one of that temple of great significance is Radha Madan Mohan temple. If we visit Vrindavan, must visit Madan Mohan. So next let's talk about Rupa Goswami. So far we discussed So Rupa Goswami, who is he? He is the brother of Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami is the elder brother, Rupa Goswami is the younger brother. But if we consider as the leaders of the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami is considered the leader, because he is the one who got initiated from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he came to Vrindavan first to start serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why Prabhupada also mentions, right, that we are the followers of Rupa Goswami, Rupa Anugas. Now Rupa Goswami, he is known as Abhidya Acharya. What is Abhidya? The process. So once you know what you want to do, how to do that, right? The process. So he is the Acharya for Abhidya, the process of devotional service. Now Rupa Goswami, he was also serving in the ministry of Nawab Hussain Shah, and he resigned it and he came to Vrindavan. Now how he resigned, in what circumstances he resigned the ministry. So one day, now he was a finance minister, right? He was a finance minister. One day he was doing all this bank balance. He was checking the account sheets one night, and they were so good in all managing all the accounts and all that even one single penny cannot go be here and there. Now if you look at today's situation, there is millions and millions of dollars of Gotala and nobody asks. One night he was doing the account balance, and he saw one coin was missing. Okay, one single coin was here and there in the account, and he could not imagine that. How can there will be difference of one coin in the accounts? So he was doing that again and again to figure out where this difference is. And that night the light went off, and they were still lighting a lamp and still trying to work on that, figure out, looking at the account sheets. And his servant that time, he brought some nectar to drink, something to drink for them while they were working. Because there was dark, this servant also could not see what is where. He basically mixed some atta in the water and he gave them to drink. And he was so busy working out that he just drank that. And that night, he got the message that Nawab is calling you. So there's loud, big thunder outside, storm outside. And in that situation, on the call of Nawab, he went to meet Nawab. And as he was passing along the path, he stopped in front of a hut. That hut happened to be a washerwoman, like a dhobi. And this washerwoman saw the shadow around the window. So this Rupa Goswami, this Amar, he was standing outside in the shade. And this woman saw the shadow on the window. So who can that be in this such a big storm outside, in this bad weather? Who could be outside? Either it could be a dog or a thief or a slave. So she used that wording. Either it could be a dog or a thief who doesn't care about the weather, it's dark or what. His business is to come in the dark outside to steal. Or it could be a slave. And he heard that wording and it stuck him so much. Really, I'm a slave working so hard for this Nawab, not caring for anything in that situation. Such big thunderstorm, and I'm going to meet him in that weather on just his call. So he decided to resign. That time he got so much renunciation, he said, just leave everything. So that event led to the renouncement in the heart of Rupa Goswami, that he renounced everything. He thought, this woman is none other than Yogmaya. And this is a Lord's arrangement for me to give this message. Let me take this message and just renounce everything. So he left everything. He sent the message to the Nawab, I'm giving up this post and I'm going away. So that is the time he resigned. And he came, met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Prayag. So he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As soon as he saw Mahaprabhu, he offered him very nice prayer. And this is the prayer we sing in the invocation prayers. What do we say?
Namo
Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurahatishe Namaha. So this is the prayer actually composed by Rupa Goswami. He is the one who first time composed this prayer, which we sing now as a prayer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you are the most magnanimous personality of Godhead. You are Krishna himself. So he offered that prayer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted him, embraced him, and he kept him for 10 days. So Sanatan Goswami, he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 2 months at that time. And this time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Prayag, when Rupa Goswami met him, he kept Rupa Goswami for 10 days and he instructed him and he gave him the personal instructions like Sanatan. So Sanatan actually met later. Rupa Goswami was the one who met first. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the personal instructions. What were the instructions? The instructions given to Rupa Goswami were, write profusely all the teachings I'm giving you as a condensed. You write elaborate books on this message of devotional service. Go to Vrindavan, excavate the hidden places of Radha Krishna pastimes and build nice temples. And engage yourself in the Naam Sankirtan, in the chanting of the holy name. So these are the personal instructions Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami as well. So after that, Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan. He stayed in Vrindavan for some time. And then after that, he got the desire to go meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. So he left Vrindavan to go to Jagannath Puri. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri. So Mahaprabhu lived for 16 years in Puri. First 6 years after taking sannyas, he was visiting everywhere throughout India. And then after 6 years, next 16 years, he stayed continuously, or 18 years. He stayed continuously in Puri, Jagannath Puri. So Rupa Goswami, after staying for some time in Vrindavan, he came to Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that time, he stayed in Puri for almost, I guess, 10 months or so. He stayed in Puri in the personal association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was staying in Puri, one day, he composed very nice verse. And his paper was lying there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came outside his hut and he saw this paper. And that paper, he had written exact shloka, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having that bhava in the heart, like in the bhava of Radharani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced Rupa. That how did you know my heart? How did you come to know my heart? So at that time, that's why one prayer was composed in the honor of Rupa Goswami. This prayer is like, who knows the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And we sing this prayer also in the invocation prayers actually. We haven't started that here in our group. We sing that prayer also. So we say, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Swapadantikam. So this is a prayer in honor of Rupa Goswami. What does it mean? Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, who knows the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sthaptam Yena Bhutale, and who has come here to establish the on this planet the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Soyam Rupa Kadamayam, when will that Rupa Goswami give me shelter at his lotus feet? Dadati Swapadantikam, so I combine it together. So when will Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So after 10 months, so he stayed for 10 months in Puri in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After that he returned back to Vrindavan in 1519, and there finally he met Sanatan Goswami, his brother. So they both were living in Vrindavan, trying to find the hidden places, trying to find the lost deities and establish the temples. And he had a very good quality. He was a very good reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So as I said, in their early age also, they were born as Brahmanas and they always engaged in reciting Bhagavatam, in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was a very good reciter of Bhagavatam. And he had another great quality of take care of the Vaishnavas with very deep love and care. So whoever Vaishnavas will come to Vrindavan, he will very nicely take care of all the Vaishnavas. Now one day Rupa Goswami was thinking, Mahaprabhu has given me this task to excavate the lost places, find the deities. Where will I find the deity? How will I find it? So one day he was just sitting in his thoughts, absorbed in his thought. One boy came to Rupa Goswami, that Baba, I know there is a Gotila, one cow comes there every day and she pours her milk down that hill. I think, so people think there is a deity of Krishna residing under that. That's why the cow comes and pours her milk at that place to feed Krishna. So Rupa Goswami, so he went to that place. That place is called Yogapeet. So he waited behind a tree. Immediately the cow came and he started pouring her milk down that little tila there. So later on, when the cow fed, poured all her milk and left, they went there, they removed that place, and under that they found the deity. And that deity is Govindji deity. So that is the second deity we discussed, right? Second very important, significant deity. This also originally carved by Vajranab. So then Rupa Goswami arranged to take that deity, and later on Raja Jai Singh or Man Singh, he built a very big temple for Govindji in Vrindavan. The temple was so tall, it was 7-story tall building, very nice architecture. It was a huge building established to serve Radha Govindji in that temple. Later on, because it was Muslim rule all around, Aurangzeb was ruling that time when this temple was built. And at the top of the temple, there will be a nice lamp burning at the top. And Aurangzeb could see from Agra. So Agra and Vrindavan, if you go by road, it's like
1 hour.
It's only 1 hour? I thought it was like 3 hours.
1 hour.
Okay. So
it's like the highway.
Yeah, now it's a highway and all, it's maybe much faster. So from Agra, from his palace, he could see a big lamp burning at the top of this building. And he could not take that. He said, how can any building be taller than my palace? So he immediately sent his army to destroy this temple. So this, the army came, they took down the top 4 floors. Now it's only, so they destroyed the top floors of the building. And now only 3 floors left. So this temple is still there. Only 3 floors are there now. And Radha Govindji is still installed. But later on, the original deity of Radha Govindji was moved to Jaipur. And that deity is the center of Jaipur. He, let me see if I have something. So Radha Jai Singh, he built a big temple for Govindji, Chandra Mahal. So this temple is the center of the Jaipur. The people of Jaipur have so much love for Govindji. Even every morning, Mangal Arati, you will see this temple will be full with people who come to visit Radha Govindji for Mangal Arati Darshan. So his final days, he lived in Vrindavan. He's always engaged in the chanting of the holy name, writing the books. He wrote many books. Two of his very celebrated books, which we use as the teachings, is Nectar of Devotion and Nectar of Instruction. So the original names are Shikshamrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Shikshamrita is translated in English as Nectar of Instruction. Shiksha. Shiksha means instruction. So Shikshamrit, Nectar of Instruction, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. So Nectar of Instruction is basically all the instructions to start with. What are the basic do's and don'ts? What are the basic criteria to progress in devotional life? And Nectar of Devotion is all the rules and regulations or the process of engaging, the 64 items of devotional service. We'll go that later. So he gave the teachings very systematically, all the teachings, Rupa Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami had passed away earlier, so Rupa Goswami performed the funeral. And after that he also went into his bhajan kutir. So 1 month continuously he stayed in his bhajan kutir, and he also left his body. So the bhajan kutir of Rupa Goswami is built in the courtyard of Radha Damodar temple. So Radha Damodar temple is also one of the very, very, very significant, important temple in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada, when he came to US, before coming to US, he stayed for 6 years in Vrindavan at Radha Damodar temple. So he got one room there where he stayed and he was serving. He was doing the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from his window of the room, he could see the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. So every day, he will sweep the courtyard. Prabhupada himself will sweep the courtyard. And every day, he will pray at the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. Please, please, please make arrangement. Please guide me how I can fulfill the mission of my Guru Maharaj. So he prayed to Rupa Goswami profusely. And he got... So he always wrote in his message, I got the blessings of Rupa Goswami. That's how I was able to accomplish this task. So Rupa Goswami Samadhi Mandir. So when we do the Parikarma of Radha Damodar temple, on one side there's lot of Samadhis of all the great saintly people. And on the other side there's a nice Samadhi of Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami. So this is the deity of Rupa Goswami, which Rupa Goswami finally discovered, Radha Govindji deity, and finally a big elaborate temple was built by Raja Man Singh to worship Radha Govindji. So Radha Govindji, again as I said, is the Abhidya Adidev, the lord of the process of devotion. So let's pray to Radha Govindji also, so that we can engage in this process of devotional service, falling into the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. Jaya Radha Govindji, Radha Govindji Radhe. Jaya Radha Govindji, Radha Govindji Radhe.
Jaya Radha Govindji, Radha Govindji Radhe.
Shri Rupa Pranadhana He.
Shri Rupa Pranadhana He.
Shri Rupa Pranadhana He.
Shri Rupa Pranadhana He.
Jaya Radha Govindji, Radha Govindji Radhe.
Jaya Radha Govindji, Radha Govindji Radhe.
Radha Govind Dev Ji Ki Jai.
Yeah.
Can we cover one more? Or you want to stop here? It's your way.
We don't take express, Prabhu. We are not that fast learners.
Already in the beginning, whatever you told, I think
worked out. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll do a little recap so you can remember, or we'll do a little quiz. So today we only covered Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Next time we'll try to cover all the four other remaining Goswamis. So
what was the provision basically? Provision is the objective.
No, Sambandha, Adidev and Prayojan.
What was the last one?
Prayojan is the ultimate goal, to achieve that goal. Achieve that goal is to develop the love for the Supreme Lord.
So that is Prayojan.
That is the ultimate goal. So, let's understand, I will give you another analogy. So, if somebody want to get married, if a girl want to get married, so what is the first step? They find a suitable boy. Right, the family will search for a boy. When they think, oh, that family is very nice, this boy is very nice, we want to establish the relationship, get that girl married to that boy. So they establish that sambandha, that this girl want to get married to that boy. So that sambandha, theoretical sambandha, is established. Now to actually get that thing done, that is prayojana. Finally get the boy and girl married, the girl come to the house of the husband and she serves him nicely, right? Get the love of her husband. So that is the ultimate goal, prayojana. Sambandha was theoretically, okay, boy has been selected, girl has been selected. Now in between there is a whole process of marriage. They have to do all the arrangements, get the mandap set up, invite all the guests, do all the preparations. So how to do all those arrangements, that is Abhideya, the process in between. So Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So same way, first theoretically understanding our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Understanding I am Jiva, is the Ishwara, I have a relationship with Ishwara. And that relationship is, I am supposed to serve the Lord. So that is theoretical Sambandha, understanding that Sambandha. Ultimate goal is to develop that relationship, to get the love of Godhead. And in between there is a process, how we do that, right? You engage in the serving the Lord, serving the deities, engage in the chanting of the holy name, serve the devotees. So that is the whole process in between. So Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So who is the Sambandha Acharya? Sanatan Goswami. Who is Abhideya Acharya? Who is the Sambandha Adidev? Radha Madan Mohan. Who is the Abhideya Adidev?
Radha
Govind ji. And the Prayojan Acharya is Raghunath Das. And Prayojan Adidev is Radha Gopinath. Anybody remembers the name of six Goswamis?
Yes.
All six?
Yes.
I know. You knew earlier maybe already. Anybody else remember all the name of six Goswamis? So on our altar, if you see, we keep the picture of the six Goswamis, basically who are following in the footstep of Prabhupada, following in the footstep as a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a follower, consider themselves as follower of Chaitanya Prabhu. We consider ourselves as a follower of six Goswamis also, right? So we keep a picture of the six Goswamis on the altar.
So this provision is defined by Acharya,
Prayojana, not as defined, who show by his example how to achieve that.
Okay.
With his bhava, with his message, who developed that.
Who has defined the Prayojana is that? That's what I'm
asking. See, Prayojana, Sambandha, Abhideya, these are all defined in the scriptures.
Okay.
It's not that they manipulated something or they have shown by their example. So Rupa Goswami showed, he gave us the easy method, how to do that. He brought forward all the teachings of the secret teachings of the scriptures. Otherwise, people are just following the scriptures in terms of karmakanda, right? The ritualistic activities. So they brought forward all the hidden message of the scriptures, the secret teachings, how to develop in the loving devotional service.
So this one, this loving get the love of Godhead, this message, who was giving, who was basically...
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he freely distributed that message.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
instructed them, right?
He was basically the...
Right. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you were missing in the last session when we discussed about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The purpose of his appearance was to freely distribute the love of Godhead. So Krishna, before departing, after fulfilling his mission, so Krishna is thinking that I have, people are engaged in the process of this ritualistic activities and everything. I have not distributed the pure love of Godhead in long time. I should come in this world to distribute the love of Godhead. And for that, I will take a form of a devotee. Because scripture says you have to show by your own example. So he came in the form of his own devotee to freely distribute the love of God. He did not put any condition. When Krishna gave the teachings to Arjuna, what did he do? He said, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. So he put a condition. First give up everything, then surrender unto me, then I will take care of you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he freely distributed the love of God. He did not put any condition. When Krishna came, he killed the miscreants. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he did not kill. He transformed them. So he delivered them basically with his
Sankirtan
movement. The classic example is Jagai and Madhai.
So basically Prayojana is basically...
Prayojana is the end goal.
That is basically kind of...
like somehow some people...
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is basically reinforced that one.
Right. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought forward all this message that we need to develop love of God. Our sambandha is to serve the Lord, and there is a process how we can establish that relationship, and Prayojana is the ultimate goal.
Three acharyas basically. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami.
There are many people, these are considered as the acharyas.
Main acharyas for these three articles.
Right. So if we want to progress in devotional life, spiritual life, we should take up blessings from these great saints, great saintly people. So that's why when we go to Vrindavan, how we enter into Vrindavan? Can we enter into Vrindavan that, oh, I've got the airplane ticket, I'm going to from here to Delhi, from Delhi I will get a taxi, I will land into Vrindavan. So, can we go to Vrindavan like that? We cannot go to Vrindavan with the airplane ticket, by a taxi, by a plane, by train, by any method, by rickshaw. You cannot go to Vrindavan like that. We maybe enter into material realm of Vrindavan, but we cannot enter the real Vrindavan like that. We need to develop the mood, the internal bhava, to be able to see the real Vrindavan. Otherwise, people go to Vrindavan. And you ask people, what did you see in Vrindavan? Oh, there was a lot of dust, there was a lot of pollution there, or a lot of...
Pizza was not there.
So, people will complain about all these things. Oh, there's a lot of gandagi, lot of this thing is there. Because we cannot see real Vrindavan with our this material eyes. To see real Vrindavan, we need to get that vision. And that vision, we can get by following into the footsteps of these great saintly people. Into the footsteps of these six Goswamis. To develop that bhava. So we should hear about them. And we should hear about the pastimes of the Lord. And try to develop that bhava to enter into Vrindavan. And when we go to Vrindavan, the purpose should not be, oh, I want to visit the nice recent temples. There's a very big temples now. Two, three especially very big temples. One of them is Prem Mandir, which comes in. Like everybody, people say, oh, I went to Prem Mandir. Very big temple. Lot of chamak damak is there. In the night, lot of lighting. But there's no actual spiritual significance to that. The real temple where you can feel the spiritual vibration are the temples of the Goswamis. So there are six temples one should visit for sure when you go to Vrindavan. Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govindji, Radha Gopinath, Radha Damodar. So these four temples. Then Radha Shamsundar. We'll maybe someday discuss the history of Radha Shamsundar temple. Did you go to Radha Shamsundar when you visit? Did you go to all these temples?
No, not all.
So, five, I said Radha Shamsundar. Then sixth very important temple is Radha Ramanji. We'll discuss about that maybe next session. Radha Ramanji and Gopal Bhatt Goswami. And then Radha Pallavji. And of course, there's Banke Bihari Temple. People visit for sure. That also has nice significance.
Yeah.
And then ISKCON has a very nice temple called Krishna Balaram Mandir. Okay. It's established in Ramanreti area. So these are the very significant temples one should visit for sure. And then there are a few other places of great significance, which is Nidhivan and Seva Kunj area. Okay, Seva Kunj, Nidhivan. Of course, one should go to Govardhan, try to do Prikarma of Govardhan. So, why we are discussing this?
To get some inspiration.
To get some inspiration, right? So, we can develop the mood to engage ourselves in the devotional service, in the chanting of the holy name. You know, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, what was their daily routine? How much they will eat, how much they will sleep, and what they will do the rest of the time. So earlier I said, they will just beg whatever dry chapatis they could get and just sustain on that. There are many nice pastimes I have not even, we have even just kind of opened the book. We haven't gone in details. There are many, many nice pastimes of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and all other Goswamis. So they will perform practically no sleep, no eat. All the time they are engaged in japa or chanting of the holy name, singing the glories or writing the books. Maybe 24 out of 24 hours. And after 1 hour, our condition is, where is prasadam? Right? So, I mean, that's okay. Our condition, we should not imitate somebody. We should not say, oh, I will, tomorrow onwards, I will follow into the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. We are not at that stage. We cannot imitate, at least, but we should get some inspiration. We should get some inspiration to strengthen our devotional service, strengthen our spiritual activities. We cannot say, tomorrow onwards, I will give resign in GM. And then I will go to Vrindavan and do Madhukari. We are not at that stage.
You just reminded about
prasadam. Okay. Amalan is hungry now. Okay. Thank you very much. If anybody has any question, you can ask me any question. Or we will stop here.
Okay, I'll call again.
What does samadhi mean?
Samadhi is... See, there is a physical samadhi. Samadhi means when the great saintly people, when they leave their body. So, they build a place, they kind of bury them. So, their spiritual potency is still there.
Oh, they don't
burn?
Their body still
no,
burn?
They don't burn them. So, they just kind of
so
bury the body.
That area still the body is there?
Right. So, body inside is buried. Only for the great saintly people, like for general people, just buried that, right? Because there is attachment to the body, generally, so the body is immediately burned. But for a great spiritual personalities, the body is not burned, it is kind of buried at that place, and a samadhi is built, a small place where people go and pay obeisances, and they still feel the spiritual vibration in that area. So same thing with Srila Prabhupada also. When Prabhupada left his body was buried at that place. So Prabhupada Samadhi is there at Krishna Balaram Mandir. And his Samadhi, the garland which he was wearing that time, the flowers were brought here, and that flowers, that garland were buried at the place where you go to New Vrindavan, right? We went last year to New Vrindavan. And West Virginia. So there is Palace of Gold. At that place also, the Prabhupada Samadhi is there. So what that Samadhi means is, it's not that Prabhupada's body was buried there, but they brought the garland which Prabhupada was wearing at that Pushpa Samadhi. So that's why it's called Pushpa Samadhi. So the flower which were on Prabhupada's body that time, they were put into that Samadhi. So the great saintly people, their Samadhi is made. And Samadhi has another meaning also in terms of, there is a Ashtang Yoga process. So Ashtang Yoga process is Yama, Niyam, Pratyahar, Pranayam, Asan, Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi. So that Samadhi means when one fully absorbs into remembrance of Krishna. He is completely externally, he has no awareness. That is also Samadhi. right? So this resembles that samadhi. So when this person has completely cut down his external awareness and completely entered into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that's why they build their samadhi. So does it clarify? Right, generally that is the case. But for saintly people, the samadhi is built. Alright, thank you very much. Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ji Ki Jai. Shri Radha Govinda Dev Ji Ki Jai. Shri Rupa Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai. Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, can we call the kids and have prasadam prayer?